Okay, at this point, we'll call to order, meeting the Advisory Board on Veterans Affairs. Today is Tuesday, September 1st. It is 06:35. We're saying hello. This is the first time I'm doing this as chairman. God bless everybody here. Thank you for your service. Thanks for your support. It is absolutely a blessing and an honor to be here. My name is Harry Wego. And at this point, agenda says, let's stand and pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We also would like to recognize a special guest. We have Shadow Senator Michael Brown.
Thanks. Great to be here, and thank you all for your service. I think we need to, those of us who haven't served are obligated to make sure we stand up for all of you who have served. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And also want to say special thanks for what you're doing for voting rights and that effort. Obviously, we all know as veterans, it's a travesty. Sign a blank check, yet we can't have full representation. So, thank you. And then Chris Duffy, Red Cross. I understand you have something you'd like to.
Tammy sort of gave me a quick invite to come out and just share with you some of the stuff that Red Cross is doing. I'm the Service Armed Forces Director for the National Capital Region here, and what that territory covers is from sort of Bethesda in the north, Prince George's County, Maryland, Montgomery County, Maryland, the District, Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun County, Virginia, Fairfax County. We are in Walter Reed Hospital. We've got about 600 volunteers there helping our retirees, active duty families. We're at Fort Belvoir, we're at Quantico, we're at Joint Base Andrews, Joint Base Bowling. We're in the DCVA hospital. We've got over 1,000 volunteers in the area. And we've also got a number of corporate partners. I've got a van downstairs full of comfort kits to share with Tammy and her team, and Girl Scout cookies that were also donated. So hopefully those will go over well. Unfortunately, I didn't get them up here, or I would have been feeding everybody Girl Scout cookies. So that's what we're doing. Red Cross American Red Cross is nationwide. My focus is on the National Capital Region here. Our national headquarters is down on East Street downtown. My office is out in Fairfax, Virginia, but I'm all over the area, as you can tell.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Jay.
Okay, we have a sign-up sheet, too. We want to make sure that we can keep in touch with everybody. It's a good way. You know, it's kind of, I'm a Navy guy. You know, we got a, who here is the Air Force? Raise your hand. Brad? All right. How about Army?
You knew that was coming.
Marine Corps. All right.
Always one. Always
one. How about Navy? There you go. Good job. Got any Coast Guard? Law enforcement? How about IC? Intelligence community. All right. Good if not raise your hand. That's a trick question. So if you haven't signed up on the sheet, we really do need everybody to put your email down there. Okay, so we have a sign-up sheet here. At this point, we'd like to we're going to do, we have a full agenda, but we do have some time set aside at the beginning here. If we've got any veteran service organizations who are represented here today, if you raise your hand first, how many do we have? Okay. So I think what we're going to do is if we have to, we're going to address at the end, but if you would mind, it looks like we got six or seven folks. If you would just please just stand up and or just say your name and your organization, please. Please recognize.
Hi, I'm Linda Clark Holland representing U.S. Vets.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening, Nat Miller, Disabled American Veterans.
Thank you, sir.
Darren Phelps, representing Student Veterans of America.
All right, thank you. Evan Marine.
That's right.
There's only one Marine here.
All right. Aaron Smith, representing AMVETS, Department Commander.
Thank you, sir.
Michael Strong, Chesapeake Health Education Program.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the 58,000 soldiers who lost their life in the Vietnam War and 8,000 soldiers who lost their life in Iraq, Afghanistan. Michael A. Well, before I even say that, number one, our wonderful, no, I'll say our Father in Heaven. Number two, $4 trillion team. Number three, let there be light. Then number four, $4 billion plan. Number one, Veterans of America Association, VOAA. Number two, respectfully, Vietnam War Museum. Number three, America's best security company. Number four, Defense Contract Security Network. Thank Peace you, be with our soldiers in Afghanistan and around the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, so at this point.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Melanie Avery, and I'm with Veterans on the Rise, 501c3. And we're in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia. We service homeless veterans and veteran families. We've serviced about 450 in the last 4.5 years, and we're really excited about our mentoring program for veterans with justice records, as well as holistic services that we provide to help veterans get back on track.
Thank you very much. At this point,
Rip Preston, First Vice Commander, Kenneth A. Madge, Post 8, Washington, D.C.
Who did he say?
Herman Rip Preston.
I mean, what group was he with?
American Legion.
Oh, American Legion. Eight. Okay.
Right. And an ex officiary.
Thank you, sir. AARP. AARP. Yes. Oh, Michael Spearman.
Thanks,
Michael. From
Yachtin. AARP.
AARP. He's not a senior yet. I don't
work for the advocacy
part of the veteran team, but I'm senior administrator for IT for American Services. For IT, for AARP, but one of my directives is to work with the advocacy program for veterans for AARP.
Thanks, sir. At this point, everyone should have had, we're voting on the minutes. If you don't have a copy, at this point, if there's nothing to add to it, we talk again. We'll accept.
I'll move for acceptance of the minutes.
Step second.
I'm second.
Hi. Hi. Anybody opposed? Yeah. Thank you. At this point, we're going to do the advisory board members roll call.
Here.
Herman Preston.
Here.
Luke Dyer.
Oop.
Sidney Locke.
Oop.
Jamal Lincoln.
Here.
Kim Davis.
Oop.
Demetrius Smith.
Here.
Victoria Michael. Here. Terry Wingo.
Here we are.
Donald Brooks. Frank Brooks.
Here.
Cecil Bird. Joe Wynn. Mr. Crossdale. Claudia Treadwell. Jesse Searles.
Here.
Here, again.
Okay. As Eric Perez said that he would like to be called in on his SOP ESF content for the full term length of today. Oh, John Patterson. I'm sorry, sir. You need to sit up front. I'm getting old and I can't see that far.
Wouldn't it be set in the back?
No.
Trying to be third man in the third row.
Yeah.
That was first set in the back. We have a new advisory board members. Just say a really brief introduction. A couple identify yourself to the board. I can kick things off. My name is Harry Wingo. I'm president and CEO of the DC Chamber of Commerce. DC native. When I was five, my parents moved out to Maryland. Went to church every Sunday, Division Avenue, Tabernacle Baptist, and went to public school, Naval Academy. Was a Navy SEAL officer for about 6.5 years. Went to law school after that. Came back home here to DC and have done technology, law, and policy for quite a few years. And was blessed to be running the chamber for about a year and a half. So, thank you.
I'm Victoria Pridemore. I'm the associate director for the Office of Military and Veteran Student Services at George Washington University. Part of the polo. I am a current member of the Virginia Army National Guard, and just recently moved into DC, but I've been in the area for 4 years now, and I'm about to hit 15 years of service with the Army and the Virginia Army National Guard.
Soon to join the DC National Guard.
Demetrius Mack, active duty Navy commander, currently stationed in White House Military Office, Director of Management Administration.
Hi, I'm Kim Davis. I'm retired Army Command Sergeant Major. Spent most of my time at Fort Bragg working for USASOC, the U.S. Army Special Operations Command. And I probably should have said that I'm here. I guess Eric Perez is going to be called in. I couldn't tell if he was here, but I also volunteer with the Center Military, which is in the D.C. Center for the LGBT community, and we were helping the LGBT service members and their family members with different issues since the policy has been lifted on gay soldiers serving openly. So there's a lot of work to be done there.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jamal Lampkin, Army vet. I've been in D.C. for 10 years. First moved here working for Congressman Vic Snyder, who was on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. He retired in 2010. I currently work at the Department of Veterans Affairs, where I'm Congressional Liaison with the Human Resources Administration.
Good evening, Sydney Locks. I am a veteran from the greatest service in America today, the United States Army. I currently work for the Department of Defense in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Currently serve as the Department Quartermaster for the District of Columbia Veterans of Foreign Wars and a few hundred thousand other things, but it's good to be here.
Go see it.
I'm going to follow that. Luke Deer, two-time Iraq vet, 15 years, currently with the D.C. Army National Guard. I work in IT staffing and placement and help veterans get help with resume writing for
Again, I'm Herman Rip Preston. I'm a retired Command Sergeant Major. I'm the current Director of D.C. Government Operations for D.C. National Guard. I'm the interface between the D.C. Guard and the city. I am also one of the founding members of the reestablishment of the Veterans Advisory Board under Anthony Williams.
Jock Patterson, a proud Ward 8 resident, also a Chief Master Sergeant in the United States Air Force Reserve, stationed at headquarters, AMC, at Scott Air Force Base.
Steve Dalzell, proud Ward 6 resident, and spent 30 years in the U.S. Army, last 15 of which in the Active Guard and Reserve program for the Army Reserve. 2 years ago, retired and began teaching at American University in the School of International Service.
My name is Prince Brooks. I Ward 4 is in the house.
Okay. All right.
Vietnam era vet. Served in it. I worked for and paid and unpaid capacity at a number of VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations in D.C., in the D.C. area. I've been an advisory board member for a little bit, 2 years.
Eric, can you hear us? You go ahead and hear on the phone.
Yes, I can hear you a little bit.
Go ahead, we can hear you.
I want you to introduce yourself.
Oh, okay. Hi, my name is Eric Perez. I'm with the DC Center for the LGBT community, and I'm coordinating the military program there, supporting LGBT veterans on their service.
Thanks, Eric. Any other new advisory board members?
Right on time. On cue.
You get to introduce yourself.
Is it my turn?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Jump right up.
Hey. First of all, I'm sorry I'm late. I was at the American Legion Convention, just getting in. So I'm Seth Kahn, right here in D.C. I serve as executive director of the American Veterans Committee. I'm also an evening law student at George Washington University Law School.
All right.
Thank
you. So, has everybody taken the ethics training that's required?
I put a request in to have it waived. I was out of town when they closed it. So I've just got to figure out what's the next available date.
If you have any information,
somebody has not taken it yet, or they do something.
Actually, I'll come back to my office and I'll let you know the next class date. Also, I have the slides from the presentation. Just
still
send me the
dates. Okay. All right, so we'll get that emailed out to everybody.
Excuse me, I didn't understand what you said before the class.
No, so for the new advisory board members,
yes,
there's an ethics training
that
they have to take.
Thank you. Ethics.
I think you're asking the wrong one about that.
If I might, Tim, if you want to say, I know most people here know you, but if you want to say a little bit about your role.
Hi, everybody. I am the Director of Veteran Affairs. Hello, everybody. I'm the Director of Veteran Affairs. I've been in boots on the ground since May the 11th. It's been very interesting and exciting. But I'm very glad to have a new advisory board in place. I'm glad to have all the VSOs that are represented here because we need you, the board needs you to help us define what we need to be doing in the community. So again, thank you all for coming. Turn it over to you, Harry.
All right. And the question about the bylaws. You mentioned that this was we compared this to other boards.
Mm-hmm. Other boards and committees.
Okay. So part of the process, and this is also to give the rest of the board a sense of how we came up with these bylaws. What you're saying, Tammy, is this reflects how specifically was it with the other boards themselves?
How they run. Because, again, if we never had, there was no structure prior to this, right? And there was no, I mean, we couldn't find bylaws anywhere. So it was very important to us to make sure that our board is very functional and can get through the meetings. I'm sorry. It was very important that we create these bylaws and we compared them against other organizations within the District of Columbia. And when I say that, I mean other agencies within the district government, right? So we compared them with others. And so this is what we came up with. So we were hoping that this would be very successful for you all to operate and do the business that the mayor has appointed you all to do.
And I just want to make an important point. We may have some veterans, past service on efforts with the board, mm-hmm. and that have worked with this office over the years. What I want to pause and do is say thank you for everything you've done. Thanks for all your commitment to the veterans. We're about 30,000 strong in Washington, D.C. And so business that we're doing here, I want to thank you all again for being here for this. So the bylaws, we may have done things differently as a board, as an organization, and in concert with the office here. However things went, years passed, just want to underscore, I'm sure you all join me in saying thank you to what's been done in the past years. This effort, I want to say thank you, Tammy, for going through the hard work. It took a lot to prepare this, get everybody set. People have been working behind the scenes. And so these bylaws, I have every confidence, given that they've been compared to other boards and how the city is running. So I think that I'm comfortable with this. But I know board members, everyone else, there's probably one important question I saw with the Senator. How would we go about changing the bylaws should we need their change under the
board? You do amendments. Yes.
Let's turn to section 118, amendments. So these operating bylaws may be amended by a majority of the board that's in office, provided that such amendment is not inconsistent with the mayor's order. The notice of the meeting at which such action is taken shall state the substance of the proposed amendment. Notice of such meetings shall be provided to the members at least 5 days before the date of the meetings. Whenever feasible, all interested parties shall have been afforded a reasonable opportunity to comment thereon. So again, underscoring my comfort in what Tammy has done. Thanks again, Tammy, for pulling this together. Victoria, thank you. So this is consistent. This is above board. And I think that what I would say, now we know how this would be changed. If for some reason there's something that needs to be addressed in the bylaws, I hope everybody's comfortable with that. I think I see a lot of nods. At this point, I know it's not on the agenda, or maybe we hadn't planned to, but I would, I think I would take a motion to accept the bylaws. That's board of that discussion.
Just to get a warm fuzzy, are we supposed to send out like a group email to everyone, making an addendum to the agenda, proposing change more than 5 days prior? Got it. So there's no. I'm just saying there's no channel. Right. So if I want to propose one, I just send out a mass a group email.
That's a good point because I prefer emails. We can figure out how to do that. That's probably the easiest way to do it.
To caveat on this, normally, according to Robert's rules in this section, a 30-day notification is given prior to all board members so they have a chance to review this and at the very next meeting vote on approval. There's also a form that I have, I use my other organization, that's a notification of change, what it reads currently, and the justification for the change that can be submitted for every board member to read prior to making a vote on it. Because some of us might come in with the same idea, but it's worded differently. Mean the same thing. So, as a process, anything an establishing a member, a board, I mean a committee, to handle the proposed bylaws. Next meeting.
The October
meeting.
Right.
And vote on in the October meeting.
Well, and then actually, so that actually sort of dovetails with what I was going to say is that a much simple way that I've used in the past is that you propose and you automatically table for the next. Therefore, someone's had a chance to hear it from the people. If there is consensus or they call it train time, you know, everyone thought of it at the same time, then that gets handled and then it's just automatically tabled to the next time.
Mr. Chair, may I make a motion that and the motion should read that we allow for vote at the next meeting incorporating the change form as added by Sergeant Major Preston, such that everyone will have time to review the document, and upon review, we receive the change form and then send in the change form to one person, and that can be compiled. Those changes can be added in to be reviewed and voted on by October.
Yeah, I mean, so, okay, since I've been working on them, if there's no objections, I'll volunteer to be the point of contact for the change. And if anybody else wants to help, we'll go ahead and establish a committee.
Got to do a second to your motion.
And I would also ask Mr. Patterson, since you know about this kind of stuff.
Preston.
Mr. Preston, sorry.
Preston.
Since you know about this kind of stuff, if you would also help.
Not a problem. In fact, if you have me, give me the email addresses tonight, the board members will have it by tomorrow.
Okay. But there does have to be a second to that.
Sydney seconded, not thirded.
So you have an official second.
Okay.
So, thank you. Chairman, you got a motion on the floor, so you want to call for your votes.
So, it's been a motion.
Seconded.
Do we have ayes?
Ayes.
All right, opposed? All right, ayes have it. Thank you. So, you also have a copy of the strategic plan, correct? And we could,
So, included in your packet is a strategic plan for the advisory board. Actually, there was one written back in 2001, 2002. I think Mr. Patterson may have been, and I know Mr. Preston was on the board at that time. Were you on that board at that time? No, so Mr. Preston and Mr. Brooks, were you on that board at that time? That was just you. Okay. So, in there, and I thought it was actually great plan.
Me and Joe Wynn.
Okay. So actually great plan. I was really impressed with it. But what I wanted to do was to make sure that the current board review what they've done and then kind of, you know, look at a way, create your own strategic plan on how you can support the mayor and her agenda. So this is a copy. I'm sorry. So this is a copy of the strategic plan. There has been some changes to it because we've identified what we currently are doing in the office. Because what has not happened in the past, as the board did not work in collaboration with the office, right? So we have several projects that are on our plate, and it's very important that we have you all on board with this to assist us. So a couple of things that are going on that we have now, we have the No Wrong Door. No Wrong Door is a VA grant for long-term supportive services for veterans. We need a committee to support us as we go through that process and, you know, be identified as stakeholders. The next one is Veterans Now. Veterans Now is with their Interagency Council on Homelessness. And so the they have, the mayor has set a goal to end homelessness by 2015. So I need the advisory board to catch up with that information. I can send, you know, you all that information. But these are some of the committees that have been identified that need help versus what was needed back then. Because when it was initially written, it was written they wanted to find they want to identify demographics, you know, what does a veteran community look like? But we're past all that, right? We've got the Office of Planning on board. They have, point of count numbers for us, broken down by wards. So we're really good. So this is more about projects that each board member, as far as setting, identifying committees, would be a part of to assist us, provide advice to us as well as the mayor on how we should move forward in this. Another committee is one that coordinates with veteran service organizations because they are on the ground. They're boots on the ground, actually. And so they're doing the work. So we need to really look at how do we partner with that? How do we define that? So that's going to be part of the advisory board's responsibility to identify those needs for the mayor. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to think of anything else. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge need for disabled veterans. You know, everybody knows that we don't have a whole bunch of money. So it's important that we have representation in the community to talk about how the mayor can support that initiative. What can we do? Again, so let me explain something to you. Your role is to advise the mayor, right? Part of the strategic plan is you can choose to send a report to her quarterly. You can choose to send a report to her yearly. It's totally incumbent upon you how you all vote and what y'all want to do so y'all can support the mayor. I suggest quarterly because this keeps her up to date with the veteran community and what's going on and what's transpiring. And then what organizations are doing the work? What work is being done? Or what population are we missing within the veteran population? Does that make sense? Okay, so there's a huge thing. So committees on needs of ex-offenders and veterans. So let me explain the district government, and the shadow senator could probably really help me with this. So the District of Columbia is very different than most states, although by the National Association of State Directors of Veteran Affairs, we're considered a state, okay? We're recognized as a state. So within the District of Columbia, the veterans platform is kind of spread throughout different agencies. So my agency really works, we do education, information, and referrals. But then we have a veterans program manager that's with the Department of Employment Services. They're funded by DOL to support the veterans in helping them get jobs. We also have DMV. DMV is set up to do our license plates for us. DCHR, you get your veterans preference to them. Department of Disability Services. They do vocational rehab on the district level. So a lot of times we're referring veterans to DDS because sometimes they have to wait on the voc rehab for the federal government, right? So that's just the sum of them, right? I can provide you with a list. I've created a presentation for you all, so I'll send that out after this. But I just kind of wanted to give you an idea of, like, what you will be doing, the importance of these committees, the importance of defining how you're going to report to the mayor, what's your communication channel with them, and things of that nature. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. What I want to do at this point is we have 50 minutes left, and the strategic plan is very important. We will allow folks a chance to go over and consider it, but if it's okay with everybody, I think the way I think we'll move forward at this point is discuss a couple of the details, and I may pause on certain sections. We won't have time to have a long discussion on each part of this, but I do want to get some immediate feedback, especially if you feel it's something that we should consider. So we definitely will be using email, but one thing I want to underscore is please reach out to me. I think I gave a lot of you my cards. I've got a bunch of cards right here. On these cards is my email. Please send emails. And oh, thanks, sir. My mobile number's there. I'm one of these people that if you call me, if I can't answer it, I won't answer. But if I can, I'll pick it up right there. Text. Please send me a text. I know text is not for everybody, but if you send me a text and you say Vet Advisory Board and give me your name, and if you're Navy, put Navy on there, and I'll definitely get back to you fast. No, but please, I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to sit down with everybody one-on-one yet. I will get that time. Our next meeting, we meet monthly on Tuesdays, and same time. Next meeting is going to be October 6th, Tuesday, October 6th. Now, we'll decide whether we're going to change the time or not, but I think we're going to go with this right now. And again, this is very important to the mayor. She cares about veterans, and we know that there's things that we have to do to help vets, but I know that one of the most important things we need to address are jobs. We need to address careers. That's what I'm feeling as chair. And there's a lot, and I'm looking through this right now, we'll get to it, but I also want to make sure that we've got that aspect of veterans. And we have some powerful veterans, all of you all in the audience, your experience, what you're doing. We got somebody at the White House right now, you know, so it's amazing. And tech is just one thing. There's all kinds of jobs in this city. But I want to make sure that we're not just speaking to very important things. We do need to think about housing. We do need to end homelessness for vets. And I've heard the mayor say this. That's a key thing. Our brothers and sisters who have invisible wounds, we have to address that. Have to. But we also have to turn an eye towards what's going on with contracting. What's going on with jobs, networking, connections, teaching about opportunities. And so that's what I do for my day job, president of the Chamber of Commerce. But I think we have to be about the business of creating economic opportunities for veterans. And I'm not seeing that necessarily in some of what this is. So this is a work in progress. We will address this, come back to it by October 6th. And actually, I'll give Vice Chair a chance to say something about this more high level before we go.
Sure. Well, yeah, so I agree. For those of you that were here in July, I think, we got this draft version of the strategic plan. And I do think that there needs to be some updating done to it. So I was telling Harry that probably something similar to what we talked about with the bylaws is what we need to do with the strategic plan as well. But it's a really good place to start, and it addresses several of the things that that Harry just went over. And it also, you know, addresses the structure, which we also address in the bylaws, and reporting and all that, which I want to sort of echo, I think is really important. I won't say too much about how we've gotten to this point, but making sure we have the structure and that we're reporting and being a productive board is important. And I do think we have established or gathered some people that can really help to move the agenda forward with homelessness, jobs. I would throw in education, but, you know, I have a bias that way.
I agree. That's
but, you know, so moving those agendas forward, and I think making sure that we do put it in the strategic plan, and that and those aren't all. Obviously, we've discussed other things in the past and can come back to those, but making sure that our actions and the things that we're doing, the committees we're establishing, and the tasks that we're sort of quote-unquote taking on are in line with the strategic plan, but also making sure that the strategic plan is in line with what the mayor wants to do as well, I think is important. So just things to think about as we're going through this.
Thanks, Victoria. Also on a note, it's very important that the Open Meetings Act applies to boards and commissions. And so the Open Meetings Act, that's DC official code, section 2-571, amends the DC Administrative Procedure Act and it requires that board and commission meetings be open to the public. So this is open to the public. Permits certain board and commission meetings to be closed, certain meetings. Establish public notice requirements for board and commission meetings. Establish electronic recording requirements for board and commission meetings, which we are meeting here. Establish the District of Columbia Open Office of Open Government with the power to enforce, da-da-da-da. So anyway, we are complying with this requirement in the statute. So these are public proceedings. We will have a bit of a time for some folks to make comments, if anyone from the public, later before we close. But again, going back to the strategic plan, which is one of the main things we want to address here today, is the purpose of having, you know, this is a strategic plan to action by the members of the advisory board, and the mandate is to render advice to the mayor, as Tammy said, as Victoria said, as to how best to use district resources towards the betterment of district veterans, their family members, and survivor interests. That's something we hadn't talked about a lot at this point, which would also be family members and survivors. So the you know, we have the authority. We will always refer back to the mayor's order to make sure that we keep that, you know, as mark, and this board is consistent with that. And then the background, there's mayor's order 2001-92, established the advisory board on Veterans Affairs. And of course, we work with the mayor's office of Veterans Affairs, MOVA. Okay, MOVA. Okay, then there's philosophy and operational characteristics. And so at this point on the draft strategy, we have 14 points on philosophy and operational characteristics. So one, the advisory board is supportive of and not competing with any of the ongoing service organizations. So we recognize VSOs in the beginning, and so we want to work together in partnership with you. So we're not competing. MOVA will provide administrative support to the advisory board. And Tammy, you've been great on that so far, and the team. Thank you. Meetings of the advisory board shall be held monthly. And we know now at this point, October 6th, we're proposing it will be Tuesday, same time. Members of the advisory board will seek to identify additional veterans residing in the district who make positive contributions in enhancing the quality of life for district veterans. This is an important point on the philosophy. So thank you all for being here. But remember, like, we're strong in numbers. So 30,000, let's get a muster. Think about ways that we can get more people to get engaged. And there's a gentleman here. I'd like to thank you, sir, for what you do. I know that we have people that get out there, actually walk around, meet people wherever they are. And that's important. So email is one thing. I made a reference for text. But sometimes it's just showing up. And like tell people we have these. And I think going forward, we'll have to adjust. You kind of saw, I hadn't seen this desk here. My instinct is to be out there with everybody. I almost jumped over there and came to say hi, but I walked around. But let's make sure, you know, that we that identify part is very important. Identifying veteran service organizations, leaders, but that means individual veterans or family members or survivors who want to get engaged. Members of the advisory board will identify a veteran liaison for each ANC from all 8 wards. Here we go, all 8 wards. This is important. So I know we have, I know somebody said Ward 8 real proud. Thank you, sir. Jock, you said that. All right, let me see. Let me see, raise a show of hands. I know we got a little bit of time. Who's here from Ward 1? All right, thank you. Who's here from Ward 2? All right, great. Who's here from Ward 3? All right. Who's here from Ward 4? All right. Who's here from Ward 5? Oh, yeah. All right. Who's here from Ward 6? All right. Who's here from Ward 7? All right. Who's here from Ward 8, Jock? All right. There we go. Oh, yeah. We got all 8 right here. Okay. So that's important. But ANCs, yes, sir. And also, I'm Harry Wingo, chairman. If we would please, while we get to know each other, please just say your name and where you're from, even if I know.
Harry, Steve Delzell. So could you clarify, when you say liaison, are we thinking those are among the members of the board? That's one of our additional duties, or we're finding additional people within the ANC? And so one of the initial tasks might be for us to, when we get our group together with our ward, among the 1 to 4 of us from a ward, brainstorm of how to reach out and find that liaison from our ward to take on that task. Is that an implied task for us?
Steve, it is. I think it is.
Yeah, Tammy, that's fine. Yeah, actually, we had one gentleman. He already volunteered. He wanted to be part of this. His name is Alex Blanco. Can you stand up and just introduce yourself and tell us?
Hi, I'm Alex Blanco. I work for the mayor's office, Office of Risk Management. I'm the chief of staff. I had 6 years in the Air Force, and I ran into Tammy on the floor, on 8th floor, and we just started talking about things, and she invited me into her office. And yes, I would be very happy to work with you in Ward 8 as the ANC liaison.
Thanks, Alex.
I'm Luke here. Would it be maybe beneficial to reach out to the board members from the board to support the employer, or would that be detrimental because of my mind is stuck in Chicago for some reason, so I'm thinking that something else. But
as far as reaching out, you're raising a good point, Luke. I was thinking the same thing. So I guess the question is,
right? Yeah. Then it's what, however big our. I mean, I got 1,000 friends on Facebook, but that's only got so much reach. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe the, or the
representative wards.
It's so for the council, yeah, for the council members.
I'm sorry.
I think what I would.
But they're two different bodies, so be clear. So there's the ANCs, and then there's the city council. They're independent bodies. Now, I would suggest that you all attend an ANC meeting or set up a meeting with the chairs and speak with them. Because each ANC, it's very interesting in D.C., and Alex explained some of this for me about how there are seven, and then there's Ward 7, but then there's Ward 7A, Ward 7B. So I was like,
usually there's five in each one.
So it's important to go to the ANC meeting and, you know, speak with the chair of the meeting, and then, you know, talk, you know, and if they have somebody that they would like to identify, that would be an easy thing to do.
Currently, there's about 240 ANC commissions throughout the city. And being a former commissioner, I can tell you. One of the things is that I would recommend if you reach out to, and you can get that from Dr. Simon, who's an officer
right, exactly.
Or you can go online to ANCs for your particular wards and see who the chair is for the different areas, because some of them are broken down. I know in five, we've got five different commissions, and out of those five different commissions, you may have eight commissioners out of one commission. Okay, I'm a member of 5A. I'm a former chair of the ANC 5A. And in our area, we got eight different commissioners in that one area. So there's this conglomerate of this, and this changes every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you reach out to the particular chairs and even establish a meeting with those chairs, to meet with them, to explain who you are and what you're trying to do, that's one of the things. This was actually put in when we first started, to reach out to find out where the vets were in the city, because we had over 40,000 plus vets and couldn't identify their locations. So the representative from the commission was to reach out to touch the wards to try to mass the number from the wards coming in. That's why this was actually put into the law, into this policy.
How did that actually end up working out as far as their interaction with our day-to-day operation?
Well, most of your ANC commissioners meet. Most meetings are conducted about 7 o'clock in the evening throughout the city. So I would suggest you find out from that chair and find out when they're meeting and ask to establish a meeting with them and see if they, from their commission, can find a representative from their single member or whatever to serve at the support of you.
It's a great point. And also on the council member, Luke, just to close that loop, I think, and we should continue the conversation, even outside of here. That's what's going to be important about email threads and sometimes just pick up the phone. And I'm sure that as we move forward, we'll have subcommittees, you know, break out on these issues. The reason I paused here, this is one of the most important things we can do. The council members, I think we want to have a coordinated effort, and I know that's going to happen automatically as veterans. But what I also love about vets, military folks, is we understand commander's intent. So I love it. What's going to happen is I can see that we're going to go forth and we're going to get engaged. Sir, you've been an ANC chair, so you're an invaluable resource, and we're going to mobilize. That's the important intent of this, is to help shape how we go out in the community and enlist folks to make sure that we're mustering as veterans at all these events that happen at ANCs, just things that happen in the community. I know we're there already, but the powerful thing, and I think as chair, I know, Victoria, I know you agree with this too, as vice chair, the whole board, we want to have this magnify so that we don't have to wonder, you know, where are the vets in town? Yes, ma'am.
That was going to be my question. You said you're going to have a liaison to work with the ANC.
Yes, ma'am.
So how are you going to have the liaison to come to us veterans who are not into ANC committees or a lot of the political side, you know what I'm saying? Because I live in Ward 7.
Yes, ma'am.
I can tell you who my ANC is.
Yes, ma'am.
The thing is, so how is your liaison going to get out there? This is what needs to be done. It's good to have these liaisons, but they need to come under the rocks. We don't know they're there. We don't know who they are. So how is it really going to benefit the veterans like myself, I'm more out there than a lot of my veteran counterparts. I'm involved. I'm here. I do other different things.
But see, what we do as veterans, we network the lower veterans that people like yourself don't get down to. And we don't know that, a lot of veterans don't know that this even exists.
Which, we're going to change that, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, I found on a humbug. I used to hang out with Barbara Pittman, so that's how I found out. So Barbara Pittman got me involved into a lot of veteran stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
But you guys got...
And ma'am, what's your name? I'm sorry, we were asking everybody to just remind.
I'm Marilyn. I'm with the Women's Veterans Resource Center here in Washington,
thanks.
D.C.
Thanks, Marilyn.
We're now under the Department of Commerce.
What's your last name, Marilyn? I'm sorry, ma'am.
W-Y-C-H-E.
Thank you, ma'am.
I am the benefit specialist. I'm a claimologist, and I've been with them since 2010. I got a 100% success rate in getting veterans and wives and stuff their benefits. So
thank you.
That's who I am.
Wow, thank you. And yes, so the answer to Ms. Weitsch is that the liaisons, and that's the communication flow between, you know, how we get everybody who's here today, all the people who are going to come from this, is just make sure we have a strong flow on that and that we're locked down and just really keep communicating. We're going to, you know, we've done things in the past a certain way, and I can't underscore again, thank you for what we've, you know, for folks who have been in this for a while. We understand it. Please let me know as chair. I know Victoria welcomes this. We welcome, you know, just ideas about, we don't need to reinvent the wheel on things that have been working before, but we do need to make sure that we're using technology. And what you said about, you know, vets that haven't been reached, we do want to change that too. So I guess I wanted to, we have 30 minutes left. Oh, Senator.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that there's an office of ANC commissions in the Wilson building. There's a lovely man named Gottlieb Simon, who's been there forever, who will give you the email address of every ANC commissioner and give you all sorts of information. So you can reach out to him, and he's very, very receptive.
Thank you, Senator.
ANC website.
Thank you. And then take one last question before we keep going through this. Yes, sir. If you would state your name.
Chair Michael Syndrome.
You too, Mr. Syndrome.
The ANC, good segue. I have lobbied vigorously for them carrying their great weight, at least by letter, for Veterans Court. You're familiar, I have a little article about it, which I will share with you offline. I do have a question. The composition of the board, I understand, it consists of 5 members, is it? The advisory board is 5?
It's more than 5.
More than 5?
Sir.
The reason I ask is I dropped off an application for the board, and actually the day I came upstairs, Office of Veterans Affairs, the guy at the desk was very combative, and he refused to accept it. I had to come back to have Director Baldwin, the date initial, she has it here. And actually, the date that I dropped it off, I had to go to the Wilson building. That's the boss for Ms. Baldwin. But my question is, and my point is, I understand the board has been enlarged to more than 5, 15, or a greater number. And I want to my application. I haven't even gotten an acknowledgement letter.
If it's okay, sir, Mr. Syndrome, we'll address that. Actually, I'll stay after, and we'll talk with Tammy about it, and we'll get to the bottom of what's going on. But thanks for being here, too.
And, sir, actually, to your first point, I'm waiting until we get to the Senate Board directives,
okay.
But the Veterans Court is something I've already dealt with the Office of Attorney General, and we can talk offline, but it's something that I've at least sort of initiated a conversation.
So we're here better.
Thanks, Luke.
Dealt with because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, actually, we'll have 2 things to talk about after this. Thanks, sir. Luke. And so what I wanted to do is keep going through here. So we've got about 30 minutes. And so, again, the next point 7 is draw upon the expertise of the members of the board to identify needs of district veterans, evaluate services that are available. And Marilyn, thank you for the ones you're doing. You've got a great track record, as you mentioned. And then the let's see, in addition, attention will be given to identifying improvements to the delivery, accessibility, and availability of these services. 8, sir.
Well, number 7, I've talked to Director Lambert about is the fact that one of our meetings have all the district departments that deal with Veterans Affairs issues to actually brief us board members as to what their duties and responsibility is. So as we go out and liaison throughout the city and talk about the process, we'll have a better understanding of who we can send veterans to for whatever service they need.
Absolutely.
That has not been done in the past.
Yeah, you. Absolutely. And so we were going to talk about that. We were going to do a meet and greet with the board members. So that's one of the things on my to-do list to do that. Because today I also brought in Eric Hughes, because I want everybody to know this wonderful gentleman. He is part of the Veterans Legal Project. He has held DD-214 clinic upgrades. And we have, to this point, have looked at 39 veterans, and we started July 29th. And so they have an MOU with us. They don't charge us. They come twice a month and they sit down and they talk one-on-one with the veterans, give them that time. We help them get their records together. He helps them with the legal paperwork, and it's been a wonderful relationship. So yeah, I to your point, I wanted to do a meet and greet first so you all can kind of get to know each other first, and then we can go to the next step. So, but I do agree with you.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. And also, Eric, thanks for being here. Committees of the board, so I'm not going to read everything verbatim, but then there's a list of the discrete needs, but housing, food, medical care, employment, you know, et cetera, are covered. Yeah, I agree. Board acknowledges as a volunteer organization. Okay, again, we won't replicate. We mentioned VSOs and our role. Members of the board may be individually tasked by the director of MOBA with my consent to represent the mayor and the board at public functions. So, you know, really being out there and being the face, you know, for the veterans community. And I'm sure you all will embrace that as board members. Board will encourage enhanced collaborative relationships between the government of the District of Columbia, VSOs, board members, and other agencies to improve the efficiency and quality. So Red Cross was represented here today. Lots of other examples we'll be able to cover. Members of the board are leaders in the district committed to the veterans community, so we know that. Members of the board seek to help district veterans enjoy the best possible quality of life. And then members of the board are highly encouraged to purchase and use a DC veteran specialty plate. That's number 14.
How many people have that plate?
Okay.
The DC Proud veteran license plate?
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
All right, so we got one to work on.
Where does the money go, Mr. Chair, for that vanity bag?
It goes to a veterans trust fund. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is used for what?
We have not used the money since we started it. Mayor Bowser was the one who introduced it, so we have not used that money at all.
How much is there?
Currently, we're only, I think, like at $7,000. Yeah, $7,000.
Excellent question. Thank you. So advisory board objectives.
Okay.
So we're going to focus our attention on, and right now in the strategy, the draft strategy, we have 9 focus points. Identification of the needs of the veterans, dependents, and survivors residing in the district. Identification of the services presently being provided. Identification of additional and or assistance that the government should provide to the veterans, dependents, and survivors residing in the district. Number 4, communicate, focus on communicating as required with the mayor and the director with the intent of providing focus on priority veterans issues and policies. 5, recommend new legislative and administrative initiatives where needed. Assess, prioritize, and I'll have to say right here, I'll pause quickly for an example. Chairman, one thing, you know, as a chair, one idea on my mind on that in legislative is anything that we should be doing that gets more folks to even sign up in the first place, that encourages folks to be aware of the opportunity in the armed services and what that would mean, you know, for, you know, their development for when they come back home after serving. But that's examples. There's lots of things we could do legislative, administratively. 6, assess, prioritize, and make recommendations on existing or proposed legislation as required. So Wilson Building and making sure, you know, as a board, we're thinking that through. And we'll have lots of help with MOBA on that. Assess, prioritize. Okay, got that, sorry. Mm-hmm. Testify before the council when required. Through MOBA, be aware of, assess, prioritize, and make recommendations as required on veteran services provided by other states.
So I can speak on that just a little. So again, we are identified as a state department of veteran affairs, although we're simply in the district. We don't provide as many services as other people. But one of my passions is to How do I get veterans to stay in the District of Columbia when we have such competing states like Maryland and Virginia? So Virginia, if you're 90% disabled, your dependents can go to any public school, public college for free. We don't have anything like that. You know what I mean? In Maryland, you get wonderful property tax exemptions in Maryland. So these are the attractions to get veterans to move into their states. I want us to identify one that will keep veterans here. You know, one of the bigger things, one legislation that's stuck in Finance Committee currently is actually the 100% Disabled Homestead Act. It's stuck in the Finance Committee because they think that we have a lot of veterans who are 100% disabled who own homes in the District of Columbia. So they have to figure out how much it's going to cost us if we do that. But when you look at the numbers on the GDX at the VA, we don't have a lot of veterans owning homes in the District of Columbia.
Tammy, would you say
that are 100%? That are 100%. We don't.
Could you send an email around specifically on that? Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Did you know that you have vehicle registration waiver if you're 100% permanent total veteran in the District of Columbia? You pay no more vehicle registration?
You have to be 100% and unemployable.
No, 100% permanent total.
Well, permanent, right? Permanent and meaning unemployable. So that's what they were telling us because we met
so
with.
Me just bring me my tax run out next month.
You're going to have to prove to them that you're unemployable. Permanent means so people get 100% in their totally disabled.
Okay. That's what permanent total means now. Mine is permanent total, so I meet the qualifications according to DMV. I don't know about what y'all told.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at the time. If everybody's indulgence, I'm just going to move through this. Please remember what you had, and hopefully have some time at the towards the end. So support MOVA with identifying, planning, and preparing veteran recognition events. Okay, so what we also have is membership composition, reporting, and structure. I encourage everybody to look at that. Committees on the advisory board. And again, in the interest of time, I'll just cover the main ones, the main points. Committee on the Needs of Homeless Veterans.
And these are just proposed committees.
Yeah, these are just proposed. Committee on the Needs of Homeless Veterans. The idea would be one on disabled veterans. Another committee for health care needs. One for ex-offender veterans. And then also a committee for service members, veterans, and their families, and to have an action plan. And then there's one on governmental affairs and policy. And yes,
just for the knowledge of everyone, real quick, in the proposed bylaws, committees have to have at least 2 board members on it, but members of the public can serve on the committee. So those are just for, I just want everyone to understand that as we're talking about these committees.
Thanks, Victoria. And I can just say right off the bat, I'm probably going to talk with everybody about it, but one thing that I see missing on this draft is, unless I'm missing it, would be possibly about veterans' employment or career path or, technology would be a subset of that. But I think that's one that I see some heads nodding, but that's one I think which should go in there. Education is another one, possibly that could be, vocation could be tied up with that. And
very quickly.
Yes, sir.
Very quickly. Something must be done. Deal with the corruption in this building, City Council, United States Congress, 18 Vermont Avenue, 1722 I Street, 50 Irving Street. Something must be done to deal with the corruption that affects and affects these veterans every single day. I'm speaking now from being here for 24 years. Now, a lot of stuff you're here saying,
yes,
I've heard it before, but something must be done to deal with this corruption. People literally getting paid for not doing nothing is the veterans at the bottom getting caught short. And I'll say the same thing I've been saying. That same commitment that we've shown 8,000 soldiers have lost their life in Iraq, Afghanistan, help the veterans in this city. Something must be done with this board to deal with this corruption in this building, 18 Vermont Avenue, the Wilson Building, Congress. It's very, very sad, because a lot of stuff, I was at the ICH meeting earlier, the same thing over and over and over, and people getting paid, and there's veterans getting caught short. Me and Michael have been before the city council so many times talking about the same thing. So please,
thank you,
deal
sir.
With this corruption in this building, in the Wilson Building, in Congress, and especially 810 Vermont Avenue, and deal with the corruption at 50 Irving Street.
Thank you, sir.
Please, in the name of God.
And Michael,
Mr. Chair, one of the committees you made mention of health
what is it, health?
Oh, yes. So, thanks, sir. Michael, that's... So, again, one of the committees was on veterans' health... I'm sorry, veterans' health care needs.
Yes. Would that include, but not limited to, the VA Medical Center on Irving Street?
Okay, so...
It's reprehensible the way we're treated. Thank you.
So, we are a local... We are a local authority. We're not a federal authority. So, we cannot tell the VA what they can do. However, what we can do, though, is district services. So the issue that I'm having, not the issue, but the concern that I have is a lot of veterans with bad paper are not entitled to any benefits. So I'm looking within the district to say, hey, because they fall with certain income range, they are entitled to, you know, get health care. There's a community enrollment program that they have, ADP, and so they were saying that veterans were not eligible, but it didn't make any sense when they met the income requirements. So this is what I'm talking about. It's important for all of our veterans who have good conduct or bad conduct to have health care because they need health care. And so I think it would be incumbent upon the district to, you know, augment what the federal government can't do or, you know, fill in the gap.
Thanks, Tammy. Excellent. And from my perspective, Michael, thanks for bringing that up. What we will do, and there's a lot of work to be done. And I know we've addressed some of these issues, but you mentioned Irving Street specifically.
Yes.
And so we also have to remember one of our mandates is to look at what's going on with neighboring states. And so, you know, we have the voice of Washington, D.C., and for veterans here. And so even if it is a federal facility, and I agree with Tammy, but I also think and please take, you know, we'll go over the details of this one. We've got 15 more minutes, but this is part of what we need to be about.
I think you were, Mr. Chair, and all in the audience here, on September 10th, Director Hawkins of the VA Medical Center here has had an open door, 1 o'clock. Normally they work at 14.
I'm sorry, what's the date again, Mr. Centrum?
This is Thursday, September 10th at September. 1 p.m. Director's office there.
Okay. And can we put that in an email to everybody to remind?
Second Thursday every month. If you're doing
yes, sir.
He buys right to people's face.
Yeah. Ryan Hawkins. Thank you, sir. And we're just getting started. And again, I want to thank you. We have 15 minutes left. And so, but as a chair, I'm blessed to be here. Please bear with me. Take me out back. Let me know if I'm doing something wrong. And I haven't been in front of everybody yet. But we're going to get it done. And I know we've been at this, but the main thing is multiplying our forces and our connection to the veterans, to the families, for people who care about vets, and we will be heard. And so, again, you know, this is a work in progress. I've already pointed out one thing I think that should be included, which goes to, and by the way, speaking of jobs, career path, education, raise your hand if you've heard of the Valor program at George Washington University as an example. We have great institutions.
Yes.
So the reason that is powerful, because we've got, you know, we have options for people to get, from what I understand, this is not advertisement for Victoria for GW, but it's an example of something that needs to go in here. You can almost go to graduate school for free, almost, practically.
And to be fair, Georgetown and American have the Yellow Ribbon program as well. I mean, it's a federal program. If you are 100% eligible for the post 9/11 GI Bill, GW has matched it at an amount where it's free for undergraduate and graduate student, free of cost of tuition. But that's only for those that are 100% eligible for the post 9/11.
And maybe I shouldn't open up a detail thing, but this is an example of something we would change. We'll go through the details. That's just one thing. So finally, identification of the needs. So the following comprises the full range of services needed in the local veteran community. I'm not sure about, I mean, full range, we might play with this language a little bit. It jumps out at me. It might say something about inclusive because we don't want to say it's a full. Maybe not. I don't know. But then please look at these, the list here. So we're at 744 right now. And I think I'm looking at my vice chair, Tammy. At this point, is there anything else? Upcoming meetings, events. Actually, let me make a quick note of that. Oh, yes.
Before we get to that, if I may, again, Steve Dalzell, member of the board. Building on the comment about how we would all like to know more about many of these very specific areas, I would suggest looking at the strategic plan as a roadmap for our self-study, if you will. And rather than trying to fill all the committees at once, as we might want to automatically do, is work our way through it and see each one of these areas as an area that deserves all of our concern. And perhaps the chair would pick one or two of them to deal with in each monthly meeting. And we could look, we could bring in the other parts of the DC government that deal with this particular issue, with the goal that every meeting when we adjourn, we will have stood up the committee, or at least the committee, the committee lead for that particular area. And but we would have done it by talking among ourselves so we all understand the priority issue, the first thing we want the committee to take on, who they're expected to coordinate with. And then over the course of our first year together, we'll work our way down these different issues. And so, you know, one meeting we talk about education and we bring in the different schools and talk about their veterans issues. And we leave with someone who's been pinned with the rose to organize thoughts on how we can move forward on that.
Steve, that's a good thank you for the suggestion. I think this is an example. This is a draft. Right. And so another direction completely might be maybe there's too many committees. Maybe we only need three or four. And they have. So I agree. Please make sure that you email suggestions. We're going to organize, outside of this. Yeah, should we? That's a good point. The vice chair asked, should we make a point of contact right now for, this, addressing the strategic plan? Maybe there's a motion about how to move forward on how do we, close the gap between where we are now, having covered and discussed a little bit about this strategic plan before October 6th. Any proposals about how we might want to organize,
You can email all of it to me, and then I can do like a track changes document, and so y'all can look through that and, go through that. Mm-hmm.
But is there somebody who wants to volunteer to work with me on this? If we
I'll work with you.
Okay.
I'll
yes, sir. Thank you, sir. No, sir, we're all blessed class. Thank you, sir, for being here. Yes, sir. But I think, Steve, if you want to, we'll talk. Anybody and Jock? Okay, thank you.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
I have a background in strategic planning and change management, so I'm interested in helping out as well.
Okay. And if my email address is just hwingo@dcchamber.org. Okay. And
yeah, mm-hmm. There's someone else. Two hands.
Yes, sir.
Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Just a protocol question. Mm-hmm. I was under the impression that all business was supposed to be done on the DC email address.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Just so that you aren't mixing the two.
You're absolutely right. Good point. So we'll use that email address.
I haven't seen anything about
it. So that was my next question. We want to receive you, though, so that way we can start doing official business.
I have to reach out to Moda. I'll check with them.
Mm-hmm. I think we should have it by.
They sent out an email saying they would send out a correct, like there was something wrong with it, mm-hmm. and then they would send out a correction, and they never sent out the correction.
When did you get that email?
A couple of weeks ago. I can forward it to you.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds right.
All right. So this is kind of like the stand-up part. You're checking your buddy right here. So thank you. That's.
But, I think until they equip us with our email, I don't see why we can't conduct business as is.
For instance, if I write a document and I CC my personal email, I CC my work email, it's on the doc. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's district government property at that point. So right. I would say to you to send it to me. You know what I mean? And that makes life easier. Just send it to me, and then I can distribute to everyone. But I'm going to talk with Moda tomorrow to see where everything is.
Does everybody have your email address?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's easy. All right.
Per the ethics.
Right, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But if you send it to me, I'm FOIA-able. So, you know what I mean? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good point. Thank you.
But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
First, thanks for having me here. I used to work at the VA at 720 Oswego Street.
And I'm sorry, we just remind everybody to say your name, even if you spoke before already.
I'm Chad Sampson. I actually was an appeals decision officer, so I've probably seen a lot of you guys' cases. But I left the VA and now I'm at the Pentagon, and I have a consulting firm where I deal with veteran issues. I didn't hear much about the benefits, but it is very important that veterans kind of do leave thousands of dollars per month, per year on the table. I don't mind, you know, of course, volunteering to help however I can find those areas within cases to especially from the
field side. So what we've done with MOBA, I don't have a service officer on staff, right? So what we did is we created an MOU with Paralyzed Veterans of America. They come twice a month to do disability and compensation, pensions. They also do survivor's assistance as well. So they come twice a month. And we've been keeping the metrics of the people that they see and what's going on with them. So you're more than welcome to come upstairs and I can show you that information. Actually, we have it publicized on a big board in our little resource center. So yeah, no problem.
Thanks, Chad. And I'm sorry, just in the interest of time, we got 5 more minutes. And Michael, if I might, 1 second, sir. I just want to see for the public comment if there's somebody on an issue that we haven't covered already, someone who wanted to. And again, we just please keep it short. But is there anyone from the public who's not on the board, who's here as a member of the public who wants to?
Yeah. Eric, are you still there?
Yes, hello?
Did you have to let him make a comment? I'm sorry. Eric is here.
No, it's fine. I'm on the phone. Let me go. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Thanks for joining us by phone.
Okay, all right.
All right. But anyone from the public who, and sir, we've already had, if we had anybody who hadn't made a comment yet, who wanted to. Yes, sir. And if you would please say your name in two minutes, yes.
Are you still there, or you want us to hang up?
Yes.
Thanks, Eric.
Before I drop off the comments, I would like to say that I would like to do a suggestion for committee to specifically address this issue. And I would like to specifically for LGBTQ veterans and women veterans and other marginalized groups that have probably seen discrimination and abuse from the military itself, and maybe we have an in-depth analysis in outreach for these groups
okay.
And why they can't get that they're
in need of. But this is something that I'll probably bring up later on or just, you know, later we go. But thank you for having me in the call, and I hope this is thank you, Eric. So Eric was saying to have a special populations, follow-up LGBT, women's issues specifically. So thank you, and we're hanging up now, Eric. Thanks.
It was nice being part of the meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And again, we only, I think at this point, we really have a short amount of time. Folks that hadn't mentioned something, so I've got two folks, and if you would again, please say your name. And
hi, my name is Anthony Davis, America's Vets, Helping Vets for Life, as an organization. One thing, as far as education, businesses, helping vets to open up their own business.
Yes.
I think veterans who opening up their own business can help other veterans by supporting them. And getting them to have jobs. Because I believe that veterans having their own jobs is very vital in sustaining them. You know, because veterans already have a lot of issues when they come out of the military, whether they just got out or whether they've been out. And veterans know how to talk to another vet more so than a civilian can talk to a vet. So that aspect, that should be put in there too.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Davis, you and I agree, because that's one thing I thought that should go in here. So thank you for that comment. Couldn't agree with you more. Yes, sir, if you would state your name. And yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Scott Smith, and I'm a veteran in the Army. And last year they were trying to get an American Legion post at the VA hospital. And there was a schism in the man organization that fell through. But I'm in the process. Got the Buffalo Soldiers Group, Chapter 8. I talked to the commander and I posted American Legion Post 8 here, Southeast DC. And I talked to the director, and I might be needing some help in the future. But you know, I just got to pay my dues to both places, and I hope I got support because I've been put through the mill with. I learned how to work the system, and
I want to, you know, like, make sure veterans come in, knowing what they're entitled to, and making sure they're getting the respect and getting the services that they should be getting. I walk through on my own and help people. The guy who came through with limitless and EBI, and they weren't there to meet for his appointment. And he said he couldn't afford to come back and forth. So I got him down with a patient advocate, got him to travel. Hopefully he got set up. I don't know what happened with this private information. And that's the kind of stuff I want to see get done. So I might need some help.
Thanks, Mr. Smith. And for the board, I think I'm glad we went over, you know, high level these points in here, because you can see how they're captured. And so at this point, thanks everybody for your patience. I think we should wrap up because we have 4 minutes left. And I think unless there's something else.
I have one last point for the board members specifically. If you look in the proposed bylaws, there are some other offices that are currently vacant, and they're appointed by majority of the members of the board. So in October, please come prepared with either nominations or the willingness to volunteer for those positions. Because if once the bylaws pass, we will need to fill those positions and vote on them. And I would like to do that all in October.
Thank you.
We'll put that on the agenda so it's clear we're going to be doing that.
Right? Yes, we will. So at this point, again, I want to underscore it's an honor. I'm humbled by the opportunity and, you know, the duty to be the chair. Please let me know if there's anything we should change for the next meeting. Any feedback, it's welcome. And I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. We're going to get it done. We can get there from here. And God bless you all. Thanks. So at this point, we are adjourned. First meeting. Thank you.